Blog Talk Radio.
Didn't hear that? You know what that means, don't you? Love songs means it's the Marto at Midnight Show, yay! It's Marto at Midnight, starring all of Marto's friends. And Marto! Okay, that's enough of that, hold on. As you probably noticed already, I'm not on Skype again tonight. I'm back on the old, cell phone. And as always, there's a reason for that. There's always a reason for everything. I had the computer in for repair, as those who were listening last week will remember. And it came back, and it wasn't repaired. I had to take it back again. Boy, that really annoys me. But I got over it. It has had a rather nasty virus. What was it called? I was going to tell you what it was called, and now I forgot. But it wasn't quite cured of that virus when I got it back the first time, so I had to take it back. Have my cleaning done. I got the computer back today, and I certainly could have plugged it back in and had it ready, hopefully in time for tonight's show. But I just didn't. I got back, I had dinner up at Iggy's restaurant and came back about 10:30, about an hour and a half before showtime. And it was very warm in the apartment. I'm only air conditioned in one room, so I retreated to that room. I said, the heck with it, I'll fool around with the computer tomorrow. So, basically, because of my laziness and discomfort, you guys have to put up with me being on the cell phone again this week. So sorry about that, but these are the command decisions that one has to make sometimes when one is doing a solo radio show. So as I had mentioned, I am up in the Auxiliary Studio, which is my room here in my apartment in my very large city here in the Midwest. And as I said, this is the only room in the apartment that is air-conditioned. They have a tiny little window model air conditioner that I've had for several years now. I bought it when I first moved here to the city, and I was living in a different place. I was sharing a house with some people, and I had a little tiny room. It was like 9 feet by 13 feet, and it had one of the corners of the room was kind of cut off by, it was followed, the ceiling followed the slope of the roof. It was on the, room on the top floor, and so it was just a quarter of the room was just cut off. And at one point, the room, the ceiling was only about 3 feet off the ground. And that's where I had my bed stuck in that sort of corner. So I had to train myself to not sit up too quickly, or I might bang my head on the ceiling. That was okay. I never really had any problems with that. But the point I was starting to make before I got distracted was that, I bought this. It was very warm there, too, and no central air in the house. I bought this just little tiny air conditioner, smallest one that I could get at the hardware store. And for that little bitty room, that air conditioner was fine. But here, my room is a little bit bigger, so the air conditioner kind of struggles a little bit to make it happen in here. But tonight's doing a fairly good job. It's kind of, because it's been abusing it here for the past couple of years, it's gotten sort of loud. So you can probably hear it humming away in the background, cranking away, trying to keep it cool in here. So I hope that I hope you don't find that sound too terribly distracting as I try and navigate my way through our 30 minutes together this evening. If it does distract you, just please take comfort in knowing that I am more comfortable here with that noise going on. The door shut, and so the hot air that's up the hallway doesn't breathe in. So, what shall we speak of today? I will do the medicine wheel thing before I forget. As you probably remember, we've been taking a little trip around the past month of the medicine wheel. It was more like my medicine wheel. It is a traditional Nemenha medicine wheel, but the medicine wheel itself is traditional. What's not traditional is the sort of totems that I put with it. So it's a circle with four points to compass directions and 3 points in the middle. The 3 points in the middle are for the Sky Father, the Earth Mother, and for the center, for the self, or the spirit, or the soul, or whatever name you want to give it. And so those are the first 3 points. And then the next points start with the west. I better get this right, because I know I give this the show. The west, and the spirit animal is the buffalo, and my totem for the west. Was that shell? That shell that I got from a former lover. And then we move to the north, which is the wall. Oh, in the west is the sixth council. In the north is heavenly beings and spirits, and that's the wolf. And my sign there. Oh, gosh, I'm like digging. Because I don't have it in front of me. I believe my sign there was a medallion, a recovery medallion, my 1 year sobriety. The reason I'm struggling is I changed some of these things recently, and I don't have them like right on the top of my head. So I was telling you about them the first time I was cheating because I had the symbol of the totem right in front of me. I knew what it was. Right now I'm hiding it from my room, so I don't have it right in front of me. But I'm sure about the north part. I'm sure about the wolf part. I'm sure about the heavenly thing, spirits part. And I'm pretty sure that it's my 1 year sobriety medallion that is my own personal symbol for heavenly beings and spirit, because that would be my, it would be representative of my higher power, what I've chosen. I won't repeat everything I said about that. We'll go on to the east door, which is Q's Far people, and the eagle is the spirit animal, and my totem there was a stone that my good friend Iggy had brought back from Peru and presented to me as a gift. And it was a mounded stone that had been around for a long time. And Native Americans believe that all objects possess wisdom, and stones are among the wisest of objects because they've been around forever. So it was a friendship stone and a wisdom stone, and I thought that was appropriate for Seas Far. Okay, so that was just all bringing up to date. That's what we've done so far. I've been doing one a week, and now the seventh week we've come to the end of the medicine wheel is the south door. The spirit animal is the mouse, and it is the looks within door, and that's where we've heard from our compatriots. You know, we've sought counsel. We've gone to heavenly beings and spirits. We've talked to people who see everything, and now we have to look within ourselves and find, as Dorothy found out in The Wizard of Oz, you know, the answer often lies in ourselves, and we're the ones who ultimately have to make, each of us has to make the choice as to what it is we're going to do, and whether it satisfies our own ideas of what's of what's right or wrong. I do believe there are some universal rights and wrongs, not too terribly many. Just about everything that happens in life is open to interpretation. I would say, you know, don't kill anybody is a rule that I think should apply pretty universally, and there are a few others. But beyond that, you know, You can collect information, but really it comes down to what's in your heart. Is this the right thing to do? Is this the wrong thing to do? So my personal sort of object for that is a hematite. It's an iron oxide polished stone that I obtained at a rocket gem shop. And it's often called the bloodstone because it is a deep red color. And I choose that because it reminds me of the recovery journey, which is sort of, I think, the ultimate looks within. You know, I have to take responsibility for all the things I did that I hurt myself and I hurt other people, and take responsibility for making amends to those people where I can. And you know, there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that goes into that process. And so I thought the bloodstone would be good to remind me of that. So that's what sits in the south door for me. And that completes our journey around the medicine wheel. And I've been very, very remiss about this. I've been promising to take some photographs and post them on the website. I will once again make you that promise, and perhaps this time I will keep it. But when I do, I will certainly, I don't know how I'm going to announce it to you guys, because you won't hear me again until next week. But, well, there is my Twitter, which is ampersand mudtoesasquatch, M-U-D-T-O-E-A-S, excuse me, now I have to start again, M-U-D-T-O-E-S-A-S-Q-U-A-D-C-H. So you can check out what's going on with Mudtoe there. Or there's also the website, mudtoesasquatch.com. And samples of my writing appear there. That's the main purpose of the website. There's also a radio show archive, which is hideously out of date. You can find some of the newer shows. Just go on Blog Talk Radio directly. So blogtalkradio.com is the hosting organization for this show. And then sort of under that is the Rift Insights Radio channel of blogtalkradio.com, and that's where you're finding the show on Mondays and Jenny Speaks Show, Intuitive Voice Hour on Tuesdays, and the brand new Heather Tapia Show, Entrepreneurial Excellence, on Wednesday. And then, of course, yours truly, Mudtoe Sasquatch on Mudtoe at Midnight. Fridays at Midnight, how the hell did I ever get him to let myself be talked into that? But get him to talk me into that. That's a revealing topic. You know, did somehow secretly I wished to be on at this ungodly hour and managed to manipulate Piggy into putting me on at this time? I don't know. Maybe so. Maybe so. Maybe so. Who knows about these things? But anyway, it's fun because Iggy is picking me up. Yeah, so Iggy Garcia is sort of the master of all of this stuff. He is a medicine man and principal stone carrier of our chapter house, which is centered here in our very large city of the Midwest. And it is he who makes a lot of the decisions regarding, oh, I guess all this is really regarding this whole radio setup. And yeah, speak to the show I did. And certainly, just explaining you what the Iggy is, if you didn't know already. Iggy and I, and I think some other people, are going to our new location of our sweat lodge. Again, I should update you on that. We have a sweat lodge here for 7 years at Iggy's home, and the township lodged objection against us, wanted us to purchase a license to have our sweat lodge, and we were fighting that, and it was looking like the township was going to take us to court on that, and we're not wealthy people. And thankfully, a friend stepped forward, someone who has some farmland out of town where we had been hoping to start a permaculture garden, and we have actually done that. They said to come and have your sweat lodge here on our land, so that's what we're doing. We had our final sweat lodge at Iggy's home back in May, and then the next one that we do them once a month, that's coming up in June, and we're going to be hopefully in the new place, but there's still some work to be done. So I'm going with Iggy tomorrow morning, along with some other people, to finish up the sweat lodge. And he says, you know, we want to get out there in the morning when it's cooler, and also you have to get back because the restaurant's open. His restaurant's open on Saturday night. So that's fine, no problem. And I'm going to meet him, and he's going to pick me up, and all these other people. But then I happen to think, you know, I'm all the time agreeing to do things early on a Saturday. And, you know, that's the one, I mean, the day before Saturday is Friday, and that's the only day I can't go to bed early because I do this frickin' radio show at midnight. And then those 12:30, and then, you know, I got to get to sleep. It's something of an effort for me to get to sleep. It's easier than it had been in the past. But, you know, still it usually takes me some time to make myself unconscious, particularly with this doggone air conditioner just grinding away. So, you know, I'm sure the morning will come much too early for me. Perhaps I can catch a little sleep in the truck on our way out of town. Who knows? But, I've been out there since last time I was out there. It's been probably about I think it's been 3 months ago. I'm very remiss. We went out there to transplant some of our materials from the permaculture garden that we had tried to start at Iggy's house, but it's a mixed success. The herbs did well. The other crops didn't do quite so well, and our fruit trees, we'll never know because they had only been there for a short time. But we pulled up the fruit trees to transplant them to the new place, and we took some of the earth that had been nicely fertilized by the plants that we had grown the previous year. We dug all that up and filled up the back of the East pickup truck, and we took that down to the new location and used that to start so that there's a connection between our original permaculture garden and our new permaculture garden. Started off basically with the same dirt. So that was the last time I was out there, and our friends who are letting us see this, we get frequent, at least I get, they put out frequent messages on Facebook saying, you know, anybody who wants to come out and help out with the garden, it would be much appreciated. And I know there are one or two people who go out on a regular basis. I am not among them. So I guess that's thing number two on my list of things to do. I need to take a picture of my medicine wheel for the website, and I need to get out to the permaculture garden on a more regular basis to till the earth and raise these crops. So what we want to do is start, we want to reach the point where the group of us who are involved in this, so we're sort of regulars at the chapter house, the ones who are putting in the most time with the chapter house activities. We want to get to the point where we're raising a significant proportion. So eventually we want to get to the point where we're raising 100% of our own vegetables that's possible for us to raise this planet. That's going to take several years to get to that point. And tangentially, we want to get enough vegetables extra that perhaps we could start a farmer's market and generate an income for the group as well. So these are our plans. It's an aggressive plan, but we have two very good people with some farmland willing to help us do it. One interesting sort of side note, we have chickens out there who are going to be, we hope, egg-laying chickens eventually. And then the thing with egg-laying chickens is after about 2 years, they become meat chickens. I guess they have a shelf life of 2 years, and then you eat them. I was not aware of that until very recently. And when we started to organize this whole permaculture effort, our friends who are donating candy I am so screwed. I cannot remember what it could be. Bobby. Oh. My God, I hope she doesn't listen to the show. Andy and Bobby, who are, who are letting us use their farm. They had a nice plan, you know, this is This is they took the trouble to make the plan for us, and we suggested some changes, but mostly it's, I'd say 90%, it's what I would say Andy and Bobby, but I think really Bobby is the one who put it together. But anyway, it was mentioned, you know, the thing about the chickens, and, you know, is someone from the group willing to help us dress the chickens, the youth prison for kill, pluck, and get ready to eat the chickens? And everybody's like, you know, the silence was deafening. And then I said this thing that I have no idea where it came from. Have you ever had that experience that something just sort of comes out of you that doesn't seem to be your thinking? It's just some, I don't know, I didn't feel like something had seized control of me or anything. I just felt like this thought went through me that somehow didn't originate with me. I know one other time it happened to me at the restaurant when there were a bunch of the younger Garcias were romping around the place, and I just turned around and said, "This is a place of business," sort of thing, the words of verbiage that I would never say, but evidently one of the spirits of the restaurant was not happy with the with child's play that was going on. But anyway, we're sitting in this meeting about the chickens and you know, who's going to kill them, who's willing to help with that. And I said, you know, if you're going to eat meat, you know, there's a lot of people in our group don't. I do. So if you're going to eat meat, maybe you should be involved in that process, you know, if only one time. And one time in your life just to see what's involved. And so I guess I sort of volunteered to slaughter these chickens when I find them. So we'll see if Mudtoe's nerve holds when that time approaches. And, I mean, my opinion about meat eating is that there's predation in nature. The animals eat other animals, and I don't see that as I don't see it as some sort of high moral. What's the word I want? I don't see why people who don't eat meat think they're better than everybody else. Let me just put it that way. I won't mask it in fancy schmancy language. I'll just say it right out. Just think vegetarianism and veganism and I mean most religions too. If you want to really get into it, you know, it's the a haven for people who want to feel better than everybody else. Yeah, by adherence to religion and maybe adherence to vegetarianism or veganism as well. I'm thinking of people who don't seem to know a lot about it other than that they're doing it. Where is it rooted in it? They're claiming spirituality, but where is it rooted in their spirituality? What's the purpose? What's it all about? So what thought has gone into this decision to not eat meat? And if not a lot of thought has gone into it, then it's, I think, a matter of, oh, look at me, I'm not eating meat. I know there are many people who have entered into that choice as one of conscience, and I completely respect that. Those aren't the people that I'm talking about. I do manage to stumble around sometimes when I'm just like, my deepest apologies to find a stability. Okay, so what else can I, looks like we've got about 6 minutes left. Can I fill up 6 minutes left? There's something I was going to do last week that I forgot, and then I'd like to do it this week, except I really can't because I don't have, I wanted to mention this person by name. And I neglected to do my research this week and get that person's name so that I would have it for the show. But I am going to go ahead and do it anyway because it's, like most news, it's just starting to get old. The Indianapolis 500 motor race took place a couple of weeks ago. And the final lap was rather exciting. The driver who was in second place, that's whose name I've been trying to remember, Japanese driver, that's either here or there, that's the Japanese guy. maybe that's an enthusiastic thing. The driver was in second place. They tried to get around. The driver was in first place, which is what you would expect. And unfortunately, he crashed. Fortunately, he was okay, and nobody else was hurt. But he didn't get to finish second in the Indianapolis 500. He finished like way back in the pack because he couldn't finish. He crashed. And to me, I mean, I applaud him for making that effort. I talk a lot about competition and how it's problematic. I don't think competition is problematic when you're competing to make yourself better and when you're competing in a quest for excellence as opposed to a quest for self-aggrandizement or a quest for maybe the idea that I have to be number one. I've heard people say, you know, the only thing worth being is number one. And so you've got a whole heck of a lot of people who don't have any reason to be alive under those conditions, because only a very select few people can ever be number one. So I think the real thing to be striving for is to be competing, and the competition should be between people who are, you know, relatively close. And because there's no point in competing in somebody who's just so much better than you that they're going to clobber you. And there's no point in competing in somebody who's, you know, is in no way able to compete with you. So I think some of them may have gotten the impression from things I've said in the past that I think all competition is bad. I do not think all competition is bad. Competition in pursuit of excellence is just fine. And that's what Dude was doing. And when he tried to make that pass on the last lap of the Indianapolis 500, and he lost a lot in doing it. He lost his second place money. He lost his second place points. And there are plenty of people in motorsports who are just fine with cruising along there in second place and collecting the money, collecting the points. And, you know, God bless this dude for showing us what it's supposed to be about. You know, he didn't do it dangerously. He didn't put anybody, you know, in any more risk than they would be being out there anyway. But he wasn't reckless. He was there to win the race, and he tried to do it. And he didn't quite make it. But kudos to him for making an effort. Okay? Is that unusual coming from me? I enjoy motor sports. I enjoy all manner of team sports. That's competition. I do not mind competition one bit. I don't mind competition, you know, in a business arena. I mean, that's the way you get better, is by competing. I think what's the matter with our system is that competition is being subverted. That people make, the corporations make a ton of money and then use that money to insulate themselves for the need to compete. So I don't decry competition as the problem. I decry lack of competition as the problem. I decry avoiding competition, subverting competition. That's the issue, not competition itself. And so we're coming down to the final minute. I want to apologize to Poppy, Iggy's father, who had suggested a topic for the show that I didn't get to. Perhaps we'll get to it next week. I doubt he's listening. That's there for the universe anyway. Thank you for joining me this evening. Again, please leave me your comments on Twitter. It's Mudjoe Sasquatch on Twitter. And please follow me because I have only 6 followers and I'd like to have more. And also please join me next week. And hopefully we'll be back on Skype by then. But if not, this cell phone does seem to work fairly well. Thank you one more time, and we'll see you next week.